Rosemary Martirana, Director of Intelligence here at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, NJOHSP, and you're listening to Intelligence Unclassified. This podcast is exactly what the title states, unclassified information about current trends in homeland security for the state of New Jersey, as well as educational information and resources for your awareness. Although it is produced every month, we aim to stay on top of current events and will often offer additional content. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow NJOHSP on Twitter at NJOHSP and Facebook. All links can be found in the show note and on our website, www.njohsp.gov. On Friday, May 6th, partners from across the Mid-Atlantic region gathered together for the inaugural Regional Domestic Terrorism Conference in New Brunswick, New Jersey, to discuss how law enforcement and homeland security professionals may counter the current threat of domestic terrorism. This event, hosted by our office, the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, in coordination with the New Jersey Regional Intelligence Academy, provided a forum for various organizations from various states to report on the terrorist threat that exists in the United States and in their jurisdictions. Over the next few weeks, you'll hear from experts in the field, to include Clint Watts, a senior fellow at the Foreign Policy Research Institute, J.M. Berger, a senior fellow from George Washington University's Center for Cyber and Homeland Security, as well as J.J. McNabb, also a fellow from George Washington University's Center for Cyber and Homeland Security. You'll also hear from some of our regional partners, like Liberty Day from the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Responses to Terrorism, more commonly known as START, from the University of Maryland. And finally, Thomas Brzozowski, Counsel for Domestic Terrorism Matters from the U.S. Department of Justice.
Hello, my name is Kristen McCormick, and I'm an intelligence analyst with the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. Today we'll be talking with Liberty Day, who is the training manager at START, where she assists START efforts to develop a broader training capacity that focuses on making START faculty research findings accessible to policymakers and practitioners. Ms. Day is primarily responsible for curriculum development, training delivery, and program management. Ms. Day earned her Master's of Science degree in Education, Counseling, Psychology from University of Kentucky. Additionally, she is an alumna of Georgetown College with a Bachelor's in Political Science. Ms. Day, thank you for being here today with us. Can you tell us a bit about START, what's its mission, and how it goes about carrying out this mission specifically?
Well, first, thanks for having me on the podcast, and of course, I'll be happy to tell you about START. START stands for the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Responses to Terrorism, and we are a Homeland Security Center of Excellence. We're headquartered at the University of Maryland in College Park, and we have a twofold mission, and that is to advance the science-based knowledge about the human causes and consequences of terrorism and to serve as a leading resource for the Homeland Security policy makers and practitioners. START supports our mission by actually supporting research efforts of social scientists and over 50 academic and research institutions, many of who are conducting original investigations into fundamental questions of global terrorism and the national and local responses to terrorism.
Okay, great. So START has a host of data sets available for use by anyone. Could you briefly describe a few of these?
Absolutely. As you said, we do have a variety of data sets, and several that I feel like would be of particular interest to this conversation are those that are available for free to the public via our website. First, we have the Global Terrorism Database, and it is the largest database of its kind. It is open source, and it actually contains information about terrorist attacks spanning from 1970 to 2015. It's comprised of systematic data on domestic as well as international terrorist attacks, and it contains more than 140,000 cases. Again, the GTD is free, and you can access it via our website. In addition, we have another data set on our website called BAD, and that stands for the Big Allied and Dangerous data set. BAD consists of terrorist organizational characteristics that can be linked to data on terrorist attacks, insurgencies, and country-level characteristics. And of course, we have our Terrorism and Extremist Violence in the U.S. database and the portal that allows you access to that database, and you'll learn more about that in just a moment.
Okay, great. So speaking of some of these databases, can you talk specifically about some of the significant findings that have come from the work START has been doing or is doing or facilitating?
Well, START has had a whole host of research projects that have concluded and that are currently underway. Many of them have resulted in significant findings on a wide range of topics, including risk communication, countering violent extremism, and motivating factors behind terrorist acts. Really, rather than highlight several findings from these various topics and various projects, what I'd really encourage people to do is go sign up for our newsletter, because that is the best way you can find out information that is current as it comes out. The newsletter is released once per month. And of course, we do have a range of publications and fact sheets and backgrounders on our website. And so I would definitely encourage anyone interested to go take a look at those.
Okay, so in addition to these publications that you're discussing, in July 2016, it's my understanding that START will conduct a limited release of the terrorism and extremist violence in the U.S. database and portal. Can you please describe the use for this portal? What types of information will make up this database, and where the information will be derived from?
Sure. So the portal itself is an online interface, and it is actually the mechanism by which you can access the database. The database itself is actually comprised of four separate but related databases, including the Global Terrorism Database, the Profiles of Perpetrators of Terrorism Database, the U.S. Extremist Crime Database, and the American Terrorism Studies Database. All of those databases are actually created and maintained by the START researchers. And so the portal, again, allows you access to that compiled data, including right now over 2,800 terrorist incidents, 3,000 pre-incident activities, 120 extremist crimes, and so forth. And so users can actually use the database to build customized searches to look at four different data types: perpetrators, groups, court cases, and events related to terrorism and extremist crime specifically in the U.S. The results of individual searches are displayed across a four-panel dynamic interface, and that includes a relational graph, a map, a timeline, and a narrative summary. I also want to point out that if you're interested in requesting access to the TBIS portal and the TBIS database, you can do that. We are having that limited release, as you mentioned, in July of this year. And you can email us at START_TBIS, and that's TEVUS, at start.umd.edu, and request access. After the launch, we will be sending out some login information to those who have requested it, and we look forward to being able to provide that access.
Okay, great. So here at NJOHSP, a lot of our intelligence analysts utilize this global terrorism database that START currently has. A few of us have been interested in the different variables in this database. So will this new database, will it still utilize some of these variables, such as infrastructure type, method, target nationality, etc.?
Yes, because TBIS does pull from the GTD, you can expect to see many of the same variables included as well in TBIS. For instance, infrastructure type, target type, weapons used, all of those will be there in TBIS. There are two primary differences I do want to note about the types of variables that you will see. First, GTD is, of course, a database that looks at global terrorism, where TBIS is really looking at U.S.-based terrorism and extremist crime. And the second part I want to point out is that it does pull from other databases like the American Terrorism Studies Database and ECDB. And so because of that, you can expect to see some additional variables that you may not necessarily see in the GTD database.
So who are the most likely consumers for this data, and how will they best utilize this portal?
Well, we worked with the Office of Intelligence and Analysis, the DHS, as a key partner in helping us refine and develop certain aspects of TBIS. So we really hope that TBIS will be a useful resource to intelligence analysts and law enforcement audiences. However, we do feel like this tool does have application to a wider audience. In particular, we've gotten a lot of interest from other researchers and students regarding the database. We also feel like it could be a resource for journalists in addition to policymakers. And so that's one of the reasons we really want to push this database out to the public. And we will be following our limited launch in July with a public launch later in September of this year.
So how do you overcome using multiple databases that may classify acts of terrorism differently?
Well, it's taken many years working with TBIS to actually get to this point where we are right now. This project has been in progress for a number of years, and across that time, the research teams have had to work really closely to make sure that we're actually coding things consistently. And in some cases, we have had to adjust, make variable adjustments in order to make sure that the data speaks to each other.
How about databases that may identify individuals as different ideologies, as some extremists may have blended views?
That is actually a really great point. I'm very glad that you're asking it, because in TVIS you can actually search based on ideology for both groups and individuals. However, we actually caution people in doing that because ideology is very difficult to identify in open source. And so there are a number of ways that you can actually conduct searches in TVIS and get probably more complete information. And so while that capability is there, we do think that there are probably other ways that you can use TVIS to get more complete information.
Okay, so you mentioned that this database has more of a domestic focus. Will this new database be effective in analyzing both domestic and international terrorism?
No. If you're going to be looking at international terrorism, then I would most likely recommend that you look at the Global Terrorism Database, because TVIS really is focused on U.S. And in order for data to be included in TVIS, it does have to be in some way related to activity that's happened within the U.S.
Okay, so going backwards a little bit, looking at the fact that you can search by ideology, how will this database categorize domestic offenders? For example, would someone be classified as far right, or would it be more specific like sovereign citizen or militia extremist?
Well, the way that the database is broken down is you can search by a category like far right, and you can also search by subcategories as well. So when you're looking at ideology, but of course I will go back and throw that disclaimer in that I noted before.
Okay, great. So other than this portal, how has START developed terrorism training that is applicable to various types of professionals, as you mentioned, from policymakers to law enforcement to intelligence analysts?
Well, that's a great question. In the past several years, START has placed an increased focus on developing a variety of training products. Of course, where we start is we try to select topics for the development of our products based on interest and established need. And then we also try to create a wide variety of different types of products so that they can reach the greatest audience as possible. Like, we have products from short online lectures, which are free and available via our website. In fact, we have one right now called Core Capabilities and Durability of ISIL, which is available via our website. And we have that product all the way to multi-day training courses that are available for continuing education units and FEMA accredited, like our training for risk and crisis communication. So again, we take a look at what gaps exist, and then we try to make sure that we're developing our training products that will actually meet the needs of the communities we're trying to serve. I am very excited to let you guys know that we do have a number of online courses. Our first online course is available right now. It's looking at the nexus between terror and crime, and it is available for continuing education units. And it is a self-paced course. And we also have a series of courses that are FEMA funded regarding countering violent extremism that will be coming out over the next year and a half to 2 years, with the first course being released later this summer. That course is called Radicalization to Violence, Awareness for Community Engagement and Resilience. And that will be a self-paced course designed for law enforcement, school resource officers, also community leaders and community members as well. We're just going to continue to grow our training portfolio and provide as many opportunities as possible to transition our research findings, to build skills, to support the integration of research into policy and practice.
So I know you've mentioned it a few times throughout this interview, but to finish up, can you please make recommendations or remind our listeners, if they would like to learn more, where they can do so?
Absolutely. So there are three ways I would tell you to do this. The first way to keep up to date, and the best way, is to go to our website and sign up for our newsletter. You can do that at the bottom of our homepage, and our website is www.start.umd.edu. The next is, if you're interested specifically in learning about training opportunities, you can also sign up for our training listserv. That can be found through our website on our training page, and that just gives us the opportunity to let you know whenever a new training opportunity arises. We'll be sending emails out letting people know when a new course is released. And then finally, if you're interested in learning more about the TVIS portal and requesting access to the TVIS portal, especially in the time period of the limited release, you can actually send an email to start_TVIS, and that's TEVUS, at start.umd.edu. And just let us know your name, the email address you want attached to that profile, and your job sector, and that would be great. We'll be sending out emails letting people know when their profiles are ready and when access is available to the TVIS portal.
Well, thanks again for joining us for our podcast series, Intelligence Unclassified. This has been an extremely informative interview. And again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.